Disasters and emergencies happen to good people like you every day. The frequency of these events are increasing at an astonishing rate. Now is the time to take responsibility for preparing and empowering yourself for the inevitable. Welcome to the Survive University Podcast, where we provide an education in preparation, giving you the tools to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Now, let's get on with today's lesson.
Listen up, my preps. Welcome to another episode of the Survive University Podcast, where we discuss research-based solutions focused on preparation for protecting your life and your health during an emergency or disaster. Our topics cover all things survival as we discuss with industry professionals on how to help you triumph over the toughest times in your life. I'm your co-host, Main J, the OG, aka the Ordinary Guy, here with my man, Hakeem Isler. And today, we're going to discuss the Internet of Things, how the internet affects you directly and indirectly in ways that you wouldn't even imagine, but things that you need to be aware of for the pros and the cons. So turn up your ears and put on your thinking caps. Class is in session. What's up, my man? What's up, my man? How you doing today?
I'm doing good. What about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. For those that don't know, my name is Main J, the OG, the Ordinary Guy. I'm here with Mr. Hakeem Isler here for another installment of the Survive University Podcast. We're so glad that you joined us today. We were looking for things to discuss and doing some research on current events. There's so many things. It's not because it was a lack thereof. There's so many things that have happened in the last couple, I'd say season, you know, because this thing's extended a lot further than just this year that we could talk about. But we wanted to break it down on a level that we can engage with our listeners, and also Hakeem can engage with me, and if we could have a conversation about certain things that are taking place. One of the things I wanted to point out is that with Survive University, from my perspective, it's a three-point mission. We say that we want you to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. And it really means that we want you to think and plan and act in a way that allows you to maintain, I guess, a level of preparedness to sustain during hard times. We want you to be able to do well in a difficult situation. And that's across the board. If you're having trouble at work, that's one angle, but also looking at current events and the propensity of what could potentially happen to us as a society, being prepared on that level, if not, I guess, physically, at least mentally, to know that things are coming so you don't become a victim across the board. Wouldn't you say, Hakeem?
Yeah. I think that's really the key is being able to recognize that it is important for you as an individual to take your safety and your health in your hands. And a lot of us are not doing that. We tend to pass the buck because our communities, our society has made it very easy for us to do so. But in doing so, we find ourselves at a loss when things happen in our lives. And then we realize that, it was all an illusion. I think, you know, that happens on a lot of fronts, like retirement, you know. People think Social Security is going to be this thing, and they don't really think about retirement. And they think, well, I got money coming out of my account. And then they get to the end and realize that's not going to be able to sustain them. And that they don't have the right health coverage and things of that nature when they get to that time. And so one of the ideas is really taking an opportunity to look at our life now. Mm-hmm. And the things that are happening in our world, and taking responsibility for ourselves to go out there and do the things that we have to ensure our safety. And anything that the society provides on top of that is just gravy. But we have to be able to do as much as we can on our own.
And so you bring up a good point. And I think when people hear you say that, there's going to be a certain segment of our listeners, they're going to perk up. You know, when you speak of retirement and Social Security, you know, anybody of middle age and older is probably going to take notice, but this extends even to the younger population. If you think of like online, looking at popularity online and how things to translate online, internet, how the internet works, a lot of times, and I've said this before, a lot of people think because they know how to use a social media platform proficiently that they're experts. In reality, what they are expert users, which is what the platform wants you to do. So you're not educating yourself on the theory behind what they're doing or their motivation behind using the platform. You're just doing what they've designed the platform to do, and it makes you feel good. You think you're doing something when in actuality, you're in the matrix. You're being used to as an advertising tool for marketing purposes. So one of the things that I want to discuss with you, we always have these conversations that get really in depth, but recently I've noticed that there have been things taking place besides the pandemic that have been ripple effects of the pandemic. And it's an invisible thing that most people don't see. They take for granted it exists, but it's something that they take for granted because it works and they don't notice it until it doesn't work. And that's the Internet of Things. Internet of Things, based on my, you know, research and, you know, looking up information online, which is ironic, I looked it up online, is that the Internet of Things is basically the systems that are in place that connect all the information that's available to people. It's really the World Wide Web, right? Correct?
Yeah.
It didn't exist before the Internet. The Internet of Things is something, well, the Internet is something that allowed people to communicate from all over the world. It broke down the boundaries of communication for a lot of people. However, in addition to that, it broke down communication for a lot of organizations or a lot of companies. And in doing so, it has a plethora of information, personal information and financial information that's going across in these different paths.
I think that's the key. So it's like a forest. And so you might be looking at one tree, but that tree has roots that extend and intertwine with other trees around it. Does that make sense?
It does.
So that I like the movie Avatar, you know, where it had that great tree in the center and then, you know, it connected to everything. It had roots that went out into the whole entire forest. And so that's kind of what the internet is. It's like, you know, each tree is connected to another tree, which is connected to another tree. And then there's a whole ecosystem that thrives throughout that. You got birds nesting in the trees. You got squirrels nesting in the trees. You have ants that climb up the trees and cut off leaves and go and take those leaves to do stuff. And, you know, it's all of this ecosystem that's thriving around these trees that are all connected. And that's kind of where, you know, that's probably the best way to explain the Internet of Things, is that it's of things, of like every, it doesn't say a specific thing. It's like, that's because you can, you know, you could buy toilet tissue on the internet, you know, and then you could turn around and you can buy like an airplane, you know, like, and, you know, you can design an airplane on the internet, you know, you can, I mean, there's so many different things that you can do. And that's really the key there.
And that's a really good analogy, saying trees in a forest, because if you think of the trees in a forest, when there's a balance, things are maintained. It's a life balance. However, when something disrupts that balance or a negative element comes into the fray, it could be something that's extremely detrimental. Say some sort of disease that attacks the trees, that affects not only the trees, but affects all the living organisms in that area. Say, you know, there's a new development that wants to come through and clear that area. So it separates a huge segment of the trees from another huge segment of the trees. In doing so, then there's a break in the system. With the Internet of Things, we've experienced that recently, where we had issues where, you know, cyber criminals stole identities from different retailers or different organizations or different companies, and got to a point where it became, initially when it started happening, it was something that was very random, and it was, you know, people had the shock and awe moments, but it became a situation where it started happening all the time. So it became a normal thing. People not realizing that in each one of these breaches, there's personal information that's acquired. We don't know what you know, what the individuals who are acquiring this information are doing with it, but it's more information that's being acquired. But translating even further now with the pandemic, you see how the Internet of Things are affected logistically when you can't get your favorite toy or cars are not as being produced as frequently because the Internet of Things has slowed down. The logistics of getting those items have slowed down.
And I think what's really interesting is that the pandemic, if we think about it, is like a stone thrown into the pond. And then what happens is when you first throw that stone in the pond, it's very clear that the pond has been disrupted because you see the ripple effect, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But then it kind of, at a certain point, the ripples look like they fade out and they're no longer there. But if you're a fish a mile down the pond, I guarantee you, those ripples will hit you at some point in time and that fish can feel it. Mm-hmm. But because it's so far away from its origin point, which is where you're standing and you're looking, you feel like, oh, the ripples are no longer there. No, the ripples are still there. They're still moving out into the water. We just no longer can see them from our perspective. And so that's kind of where we are, like in this pandemic. The ripples have moved out into all aspects of life to the point where me as an individual, I can't see it anymore because it's not affecting me as closely. But when something like supply chain slows down or something like that, or the gas prices start to rise, or for that matter, we can't get any more fuel, we start to see like, wait a minute, where did this come from? Why is this happening? And that's when we recognize, oh, that ripple is still out there. That's mm-hmm. where that's coming from. Oh, we could tie it back to this origin. I thought it was all over. I thought, you know, hey, we got a vaccine and we were good, you know, but no, yeah. it's still this ripple effect happening that's so far from the point of origin that it's tough to recognize until it hits us again. And then when we start to look into it, we find out that it's still that same initial action, that initial stone that was thrown in the pond. Going back to the forest analogy is that you burn a tree down in the forest, it's very rare that you're just going to burn that tree down. What's going to end up happening is that flame from that, or a ember or something from that tree is going to float over to the next tree, and it's going to burn that one down, and it'll float over to the tree next to it. And before you know it, you have a full-fledged forest fire, destroying an entire ecosystem of things, of deer, of snakes, of bugs, of, you know, plants, you know. All types of different animals are being destroyed off of that one initial spark. And that's where we are when it talks about, you know, IoT, the Internet of Things, and how disruptive it could be to the average person's life when we're not paying attention.
The snakes and the deer that are in the woods, the ants that are in the woods, for the most part, don't really think about the fact that the trees are there until the trees are no longer there.
Yeah.
Until it hits home. So in that respect, it's a situation that you may isolate yourself and put yourself in the bubble and say, hey, this didn't affect me. Who, you know, everything's good. I didn't suffer from COVID or the pandemic. You know, my immediate family didn't suffer. I have a coworker, or I have a, you know, a guy that I know down the street, and he was affected, but, you know, we were isolated. However, when you go to buy a new TV, you find out that it's more expensive because the factory where they're being made had a outbreak of COVID and lost a lot of workers there. So because of that, they had to raise the prices because they had to get more workers or whatever cost is associated with that. And, you know, the shipping costs more. So it translates, it passes on to you and you're affected by it. So even though you think you've been isolated from it, you haven't been isolated. This is showing the connectivity of everybody in this thing called Earth. Ignorance is not an excuse to not prepare, not to be aware of what's going on. And I think that's what one of the things I wanted to bring up is that usually we talk to you guys about planning, and we talk to you guys about acting and what you need to do to prepare. But I just wanted to spark a thought into the minds of those individuals who haven't thought about this to say, hey, this is a holistic thing that you have to consider. And I also wanted to let those individuals who already thought about it, let them know that they're not the only ones thinking about it. There's other people who are thinking about it, and it may be time to plan and act on that thought.
I personally listen to a podcast, Dave Ramsey podcast. And one of the things that I really like about some of the stuff that he says is, you know, if you went into the pandemic and you had a house and it was completely paid for, your life was amazingly different than somebody who went into the pandemic and they had a house that was like 30 or 40% of their income. You get what I'm saying?
I do.
And if they lost their job or if they got laid off for a little while, like your experience is wildly different. Yeah, a house is a big purchase, but I mean, if you think about that on all those different levels, if we think about it like our ancestors, in the sense that, you know, they used to store up food for the winter, you know, because they knew that, you know, certain things you were not going to be able to get during the winter time because we didn't have the same type of refrigeration and preservatives and things of that nature that we do today. So it's just simple understanding. But going back to what you were saying earlier, we have been designed now to consume. So mm-hmm. we were consuming before the internet. And now as we move into a more virtual world, we're still becoming consumers. So we're just locked into these Facebooks and we're consuming information and we're consuming, you know, items and products. And now these systems, because they're all integrated, are communicating with each other and creating profiles on us so that we think that we are making our own choices. But when you speak to someone and your phone registers what you're saying, and then you go to Instagram and then, you know, you start seeing ads pop up, you know, for the things that you were talking about. And today you don't need it and tomorrow you don't need it, but a week from now you end up purchasing it, you know, or 2 weeks from now you end up purchasing it. You start realizing that there is a huge like process at play here, you know, and one that's really becoming very in-depth and very integrated into our lives. And that, again, is an ecosystem that takes shape on all these different levels. And that's really what it's about. I think you and I were talking before about this idea of, or these different cyber attacks that have been happening, mm-hmm. and how a lot of people just aren't paying attention. And again, that's the ripple effect. Hey, I throw this rock in the pond, I'm standing on land, the pond is actually having this ripple effect of all these things going on. So it really doesn't feel like it affects me. It doesn't seem like it's having an impact on me. But the reality is that these issues represent issues that can affect us in a myriad of different ways in the long run. And that's what the pandemic was. When it was hanging out in China and India and wherever else, and it wasn't in the US, everybody was like, oh, we're good. You know, that's pretty far away. I think we're good, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when it popped up on US soil and it started like affecting a few hundred or this, that, and the other, there was still the majority of the US like, oh, we're good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just happening in Ohio, or that's happening here, or that's happening there. It's not here. And as we started to see how it was having an impact on more and more and more people, that's when it really started to hit home, like, whoa, wait a minute. The downside to that, the sad part about that, is that we went through that and people still aren't taking this idea seriously of the interconnectivity of the world. So when you have, like, for instance, a cyber attack on the water treatment facility in Florida that happened about a year and a half ago.
That really happened. You're not making that up as a scenario. That really happened, correct?
Yep, that really happened. Basically, somebody hacked into the system, the water treatment system, which is automated. And there's a certain chemical that gets pumped into the water that's supposed to kill certain bacteria. a certain level is good, is okay, but then anything more than that level will have adverse effects on anyone who's drinking that water. Their statement was that a manager saw that it happened and stopped it before it went wrong. So there's two ways to look at that. One is, it's actually four ways. You hear me talk about that in my psychological warfare class, but let's just stick two ways to make it simple. One is exactly what they said is what happened. Hey, this dude was like hanging out, and on this particular day, out of the many days, he was actually able to pay attention and he saw it and he caught it and he stopped it. The other is he stopped it, but what if he didn't stop it to a degree of which it will have no impact?
Knowledge bombs. We tend to drop them a lot around here, and we appreciate your feedback and support for the information, interviews, and perspectives shared. Become a Patreon supporter for Survive University and get additional exclusive content not shared during the podcast. Patreon subscribers also get information on other Survive University products and projects before they're released to the public. So visit patreon.com/Survive University and join us as we continue on this journey to get ready, be ready, and stay ready like never before.
He stopped it, but what if he didn't stop it to a degree of which it will have no impact? Because gotcha. What we do know is that if we look at our world, there's acceptable levels of everything. There's an acceptable level of rat feces that can be on your soda cans, you know, or urine that could be on your soda cans, because they're like, well, yeah, it's not clean, it's not 100% healthy, but it's not really going to affect the person that bad, so we'll allow it to slide. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, let's look at that in this perspective. What if they said, well, yeah, it's 10% or 15% higher, that'll probably have an adverse effect on maybe 1,000 people in this community, but there are 50,000 people in the community. So that's a pretty acceptable level. Well, not if you're that 1,000 people, you know, like yeah. what happens if you're that 1,000? But nobody will ever know, because you might manifest symptoms and you go to the doctor and they say, oh yeah, this is, this is because of X, Y, and Z. Doctor throws something out there, but he's not thinking, or she's not thinking about, oh yeah, we had that hack and this chemical and this person is probably the one out of a 1,000 that actually drank this chemical, and it's having an adverse effect on our body. It's just too complicated to figure out. And so when you see stuff like that, it's always good to say, well, let me not just rely on what these folks are telling me, but let me have some things that I can fall back on until I feel certain that things are okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and most people don't have that. We just look at the news, and if they say boil, we boil. And when they say it's safe, we say, okay, it's safe. And but we really don't recognize what's going on and what's happening. I'll segue into one other thing that happened recently. Some Russian hackers, well, they claimed it was a group of some anarchists from Russia that had nothing to do with the government. We'll never figure out whether or not that's true or not, but okay, that tried to break into the financial system here in the US, right? Mm-hmm. They, from what I understand, they had some level of success, but was caught and, you know, it was shut down. But it highlights, again, there are people out there doing things to disrupt our systems, and all of our systems are integrated. And we saw that with the pipeline ransom, this little ransomware that they put into our pipeline, one of the pipelines here in North Carolina, and how that literally shut down North Carolina, because then people were running and grabbing all of the fuel from the gas stations. You had people pumping fuel into plastic bags. You had people pumping fuel into trash bins.
I remember that.
It was just, and this was last year, right?
Yep.
So this was like not that long ago, and people were losing their mind, and they were just, you know, I had an event that I had to go to, and you know, I had to map out what gas stations might have fuel on the way there because it had gotten so bad. And that was only like a week or two, you know? Mm-hmm. And so imagine if that had lasted longer, you know, people would not have been able to get to work. People would not have been able to, you know, if you were a truck driver, you're not driving anywhere in North Carolina. You know, I mean, it was just getting crazy.
And the crazy thing about that is that you just mentioned the truck drivers are not driving, which goes back to the logistics and the Internet of Things, the supply chain. So when something like that happens, it breaks down everything in a way that most people don't want to take the time to think about, because it requires additional thought. It requires the fact that you have to plan ahead. It requires the fact that faith alone is not going to fix everything, or the hope that everything is going to be okay doesn't fix everything. It's naive to believe that every disaster is averted before bad things happen.
Yeah.
I think in doing so, that level of ignorance is comforting. It gives you a sense of comfort in letting you believe that everything is going to be okay. But in reality, like you mentioned before, there's no way of knowing the actual effects of something bad happening. So to put yourself in that mindset, or even allow yourself to get that level of comfort in saying that they caught it before it got bad, or, you know, we averted that, that should warn you, to let you know that you're not prepared.
Yeah, but we're not, because we're pre-programmed to be consuming robots. And that means that we just go out there and we just get stuff and we do stuff. We don't actually look at the programming of the world. You get what I'm saying? We're not really paying attention to that. I think the best way that I can explain it, this comes up to mind, when I was a young sergeant in the Army, I had a senior NCO tell me, we had a general coming to our barracks, or not our barracks, but to our unit. And we went nuts. We had to clean every corner and everything and I just looked at my team sergeant. I was just like, hey, like, why are we doing all this? This is like not what we do. You know, this is not what we do on a normal, I mean, really, is he going to pay attention to this little corner that we're scrubbing right now? And he said, Sergeant Nidler, you know, the idea here is to create a scenario that looks like a duck on a pond. And I said, what are you talking about? And he was like, when you see a duck or a swan moving on the pond, they look nice and fluid and smooth, but you don't see their feet paddling really fast underneath. Mm-hmm. We need to give the general the illusion that we're just a duck on a pond. He doesn't need to see our feet moving at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And the more we can give that illusion of we're just smooth sailing, you get what I'm saying? And that everything is in its place and everything is cool, the better our lives are gonna be, the easier it's gonna be for us. And so now I think about that in this perspective of how our government and how these different corporations and stuff are trying to make it seem like there are ducks smoothly moving on the pond, but really there's total chaos happening under the water, you know, but they don't want us to see that, because then it makes us lose faith in the system and so on and so forth. Instead of, and I don't want to say, I don't want to not give credit, because if you go to like ready.gov or something like that, they have they tell you straight out, you should have this much water, you should have this much food stored up, you should pay attention to this. This is what you should be doing when hurricane season comes around. Mm-hmm. But their messages and their budget is not as strong as the budget and the messages of consumerism, of not paying attention, of getting our attention swayed and our focus pulled on by these multi-billion-dollar companies that are tracking our every move and feeding us information that they want to feed us. So when you look at the difference, like how much, probably most people listening to this didn't even know there was a ready.gov, mm-hmm. right? But we know there's a facebook.com. And we know there's a, you know, Instagram, and we know that there's all this other stuff. And if it's not on one of those platforms being fed to us, then we just don't pay attention to it. And if we aren't paying attention to it, and then we go on those platforms, those platforms are designed to show us stuff based on our personality and the things that we're interested in. So if we're not interested in being prepared and paying attention, then the things on the internet that are designed to track our behaviors are only going to show us and reinforce the things we're already doing. So if we're already in, if we're in the dark and we're just paying attention to fashion, then it's just going to show us more fashion. It's not going to show us anything about tornado preparedness or any of that stuff, unless that's what you, that's already in your mind. So again, the illusion is being built for you. You know, you, it's setting the stage for the duck or the swan to move smoothly on the pond and not really show you what's happening underneath the surface. And when we catch glimpses of it, we don't think about it because it looks a lot prettier to see just the duck smoothly moving on the pond.
It seems like it also gives you a false sense of assurance in believing that, well, yeah, I know this, there's crazy things going on, but if I don't see it on the internet, then mm-hmm. it must not be that bad, not realizing that the internet is only feeding you what you wanted to see or what you said you wanted to see from it.
Exactly.
In every shape, form, or fashion, if you look at your advertisements, as you mentioned before, you can speak in a room, you know, not on your phone, and your phone be present, and you'll start to see advertisements for the things that you speak about. You know, if you yeah. want to get a new car, and sometimes people think it's coincidence, and it's like, wow, you know, I was just thinking about getting a new car, and this new car advertisement just came on my phone. Let me look into it. And there's another level that said, well, yeah, I know it listens to me, but you know, that's a convenience because it listens to me, and it, you know, it's intuitive and it gives me what I need. But there's another layer to that, you know, where it's like, okay, why is my phone listening to me? And yeah. and what are they doing with that information? And what are they hearing? And what, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think you have to figure out where you want to be. Not saying that you have to be the person that, you know, is hyper aware of everything that's going on with you with the Internet of Things or social media or just the world in general as it states right now, but you just have to be understand that it exists and the consequences of it. So if something does transpire, you should not be one of those individuals who are caught blind, and better yet, you shouldn't be one of those people who blame other people for the situation that you're in with, especially when you knew that these issues existed. Since we have people who may be interested in learning more about this kind of stuff, different avenues and different channels where they can go to learn about the things that are going on out, for lack of a better term, outside of the matrix, you know, what resources do they have to?
I think it's everywhere. I think the, you know, the black cat is walking around showing the glitches in the matrix everywhere, right? If you remember the black cat.
Yeah, I do.
Show, where he's like, whoa, that was deja vu. You know, it's like, no, deja vu is actually a glitch in the matrix. I think there is, that information is circulating around us. And it's not that hard to find. I mean, we see disasters happening. It's just a matter of our perception. Do you really want to awaken to that possibility, or are you just at peace, just throwing rocks in the pond, right? Mm. I don't want to see the outcome. I don't care about the outcome. I just want to throw rocks in the pond. I don't care about the outcome. You know, I just want to see this pile of leaves burning. Because it looks cool, but not recognizing that it could then burn down the whole forest. And there's a lot of ignorance in that, and ignorance is bliss. And so I think it's a lot easier to say that the world is going to be okay, that somebody's out there looking out for me, than it is to say, well, you know what? What if people aren't looking out for me? What if the world is not on my side 100%, you know? Maybe I should pay attention to these things and just make sure that there's a backup plan because it's my responsibility. Make sure that I have some money when it comes time for me to retire. Make sure that I have an emergency fund when it comes down to this. Make sure that I have, you know, ID theft protection. So having those things and having systems set up for your protection, instead of saying that somebody out there is already creating systems to protect me. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's really what that's really what it's, you know, one of the best times or one of the best things for, I think, people to really pay attention to. Mm-hmm. But I always have about a half a tank of gas or more saved up so that I know that I can get at least, you know, a few hours away if something was going wrong. I have at least, you know, a half a week or a week of driving that I can do if, like, we had another fuel shortage. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that is just because I'm not going to wait for those things to happen. I'm going to have those things kind of set aside and just make sure that I could take care of myself if something was to go down. That starts with just small little movements, and then you just build from there. But most people aren't, again, we're just consuming and doing and living, but we're not really paying attention to the chaos that is happening or really quantifying how that can really affect us. Until you go to the store and you realize that your turkey, wait a minute, I bought this turkey last year and it was only, you know, $10. And now I bought it this year and it's $20. That's a little crazy. Why is it that way? You know? And then you start seeing that across different, you know, elements. You start saying, whoa, wait a minute, now my internet service is going up and now the fuel cost is going up and now this thing is happening. And now they're saying that, you know, I have to boil my water and, you know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what's happening? And it becomes a little overwhelming for people, I think.
And usually it seems like when it gets to that level, when it's at a level where you're seeing it in the effects from the standpoint of you're paying more, mm-hmm. At that point, there's nothing you could do about it. And what we tend to do is react to that. But also what I found out recently among the Internet of Things is that we turn it into satire. Mm-hmm. We turn the gas station shootings because there's no gas into news that creates more pandemonium. Or we turn it into a joke where it's like, you shouldn't be going out without no gas. Or look at that girl and how she's dressed and she's putting gas in the trash bags. Cause I remember seeing that video also. Yeah. And it's like, okay, but that totally defeats the point that you didn't prepare. So in the end of the day, you stand up blaming people or blaming society or blaming somebody else because you were not aware. And the reality is that the opportunity was there, but you were comfortable and you didn't want to come out of that comfort zone.
And I think what that highlights is that until we start having those conversations, just think about the political climate that's now and that was in our last presidency. Until you start really having conversations with people about that, you think, oh, my neighbor is a pretty nice guy. And then all of a sudden you start having conversation and then you're like, whoa, this man's crazy. They, you know, cause they're on a different political spectrum than you or whatever the case may be. And you're like, man, or, you know, or like when things happen, you know, with the issue with, you know, the murder of George Floyd and, you know, you saw how polarized people could be. Well, he was a criminal or well, he was this, you know, and it was like, whoa, you know, and then you saw neighbors fighting against neighbors and really starting to. So I bring that up because sometimes people watch these news things and oh, that's crazy. You know, I would never do that. Not realizing that that's like Jane who lives next door to you.
Exactly.
Who you thought was super sane and was like the most calm and collect person. And now all of a sudden you're watching Jane at the gas station, like, you know, getting ready to stab somebody in the face over some gas that she's trying to put in a Walmart bag, you know, like, it's like, whoa, what is going on there? But that person is somebody's neighbor. That person is somebody's mother. That person is somebody's father, you know, like, that person, somebody's uncle. We're all in the same sphere.
Yeah.
But we rather look at it on the news and say, well, that's just a crazy scenario with some crazy people, not realizing that that person in their actual living sphere was probably one of those people that everybody saw as the most sane person ever.
Yeah.
Until they're watching them on the news stabbing somebody in the face over, you know, a honey bun, you know, and then it's like, whoa, what is happening? But that's the reality that people have been talking about, you know, for a long time in these different spheres, is that these will be going down. But I want to kind of, we didn't hit on the real point. So the Internet of Things, one of the things that happens every year is this, they call it, almost some people call it in some circles, like a digital or cyber pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And this idea that there might be a wide scale hack of some sort that really does some major damage to different companies, and how that's going to really mess with the supply chain on a larger level. So every year, a lot of these really major companies get together and they gamify this process, and they're trying to figure out, like, if something like this was to happen, how could we sustain our business through this? What that should tell you, because I don't know if they're, I don't want to be too cynical, but I don't know if they're necessarily wondering what's going to happen in Maine and Hakeem's life if our company gets shut down, you know?
Yes.
I think probably the CEOs who are sending their cyber people to this event are thinking, how's that going to affect my $1 billion bottom line? You know, So I think it might be a little bit more about them than it is about us. If that's the case, then here you have all of these different scenarios, all these different companies, and they're actually sending their cyber people out, like, well, what happens if our shipments get delayed because of a cyber attack, you mm-hmm. know? And how do we sustain our business and keep the consumer consuming and getting the things that they want so that we can keep our bottom line high, so that we can make our investors happy, and so on and so forth. Why, for the average person, that should make you nervous is because it's not about you. In 2008, the financial crisis, where we had people who, in 2009, the banks started realizing people were defaulting on their loans, right? Mm-hmm. Because people were able back then to, and it sounds outrageous, but you could declare your salary, right, with no proof. Mm-hmm. So I could, and a lot of people don't know this, you could walk into a bank and say, I make $1 million a year, and get a loan for a $500,000 house. But you only make really, in reality, you only make $80,000 a year, mm-hmm. right? So you get in that house, you're paying for $1 million house, which is like $4,000 a month, but you only make $80,000 a year, which is like $7,000 or $6,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
So you have literally no money at the end of the month. And you're thinking, you know, somehow people were believing, like, oh, I could get this, you know, I got this loan, I got this house, it's going to go up in value, it's worth so much, so on and so forth. And then, like, shortly after that, you start realizing you couldn't do it. Well, instead of the government saying, hey, banks, that was ridiculous, you guys need to figure it out on your own, we're just going to let you, the banks were too big to fail, too many systems. It was so integrated into our American system that if these things failed, so many people were going to fail. Mm-hmm. So then they bail these guys out. And we as the American people watched, because it was news coverage, that immediately after that, bank CEOs were getting like $10 million, $20 million bonuses. Mm-hmm. It was like, so wait a minute, just a day ago, you guys were saying we're going to have to close because we can't afford to keep our doors open. The government comes in, bails you out, and now a day later, you're given a $10 million bonus to everyone. All of these people who are already making millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Is that about the average Joe? No, because those people still lost their house. They didn't bail out those people and say, oh, okay, we'll let you keep your house now because we got bailed out. They were like, no, we're still taking the house back, and we're going to give our CEOs a $10 million. So I bring all that up to say is that, you know, I'm not trying to say that that everyone is horrible in those different circles and genres. I'm highlighting that to say that it's most likely not about you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's about it's about the bigger organizations. And those organizations continue to thrive because their money gets moved around in all these different circles. So if that's the case, then the one that's caring about you and your neighbor is you and your neighbor. You guys have to look out for each other. You guys have to put the money aside for your retirement. You have to try to pay off your house so that if you lose your job, that at least you know that all you have to do is pay your taxes. Or you have to pay attention to what information you're sharing and who's tracking you across these different social platforms. And that's very important to the bigger picture of what the Internet of Things represents. Those companies are gamifying and they are preparing for all types of horrible things to happen. The only person who's not preparing is you and me. And we're thinking that it's about, oh, they're gamifying because they want to make sure that we're okay. No, they're gamifying because they want to make sure that they're okay and that we continue to consume what they're putting down, you know? We continue to pick up what they're putting down. And that's really what it's about, you know? So
if you look at anything, I guess, history overall, not the retelling of history, but actual history, when you live through it, that is what you see, the reality of what you see. It's usually when somebody is upset about something or they're crying about something, it's those reactions never warrant a solution. It's always being prepared always warrants the better solution. Or even if you're too prepared, the entities that are orchestrating or, as you say, gamifying everything get nervous. Because if you are working with your neighbor and working with your community to create your own garden or butcher your own meat, then you don't necessarily need the market anymore. And that makes them a little bit nervous. However, at the end of the day, it's about survive you. It's about you surviving and you preparing. And the wake-up call is when you see things happening around you. It's not a time for you to say, hey, well, that happened over there. Or because, what did you say, Kate? Or I forgot the young lady's name that you said stabbed people in the face for the honey bun.
I just made the name up, so it could be anybody.
It could be Monica, whoever it is who stabbed somebody in the face for, you know, the honey bun, and you look at it and say, wow, that was crazy. We talked about this in a previous episode. Crazy is the new saying. It's not a situation where they're crazy. It's just a situation where their circumstance required them to act in a way that they did based on their level of preparedness.
Yeah.
So she's not unusual. She is, to be honest with you, she is you and I and everyone else who is not prepared. And the reality of it is when you see one person on the news reacting in that fashion, you may see it as being horrific. You may see it as being sad. You may see it as, some people may even see it as being funny. But when you have thousands upon thousands of people doing the same thing, then it gets really ugly.
Hey guys, there is a lot of information in this podcast episode, as well as all of our other episodes. We distilled down some of the greatest lessons from all of our episodes that we share with you. You'll find that information on our Patreon account, where we would like to invite you to come over for $4 a month. You can join our Patreon account. You can help support us, keep us doing this good work, and then also learn some valuable skills. If you're looking to get more education, get into some courses, join us at our SurviveUniversity.com website. Again, that's SurviveUniversity.com, where you can gain the knowledge that you need to really grow your survival expertise.
And the reality of it is when you see one person on the news reacting in that fashion, you may see it as being horrific. You may see it as being sad. You may see it as, some people may even see it as being funny. But when you have thousands upon thousands of people doing the same thing, then it gets really ugly.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared in any shape, form, or fashion, then you're in a bad situation.
And, you know, that's the key right there is trying to prepare. I think that, but our society also makes it difficult because, a lot of people may have heard this story or may not have heard this story, but in Florida, there was a very interesting story of a lady who was trying to live off grid. She owned her own land And she was like, I'm going to do rainwater collection and I'm going to live off of my own land. They came, the county came in and said, well, you cannot do rainwater collection. She's like, I'm one person living on my own land, trying to collect some water so that I can drink it. What's the problem with that? You have to have, they told her she had to have sewer and water hookup from the county. But I have my own land and I just want to collect some rainwater. Can't do that. So they went back and forth in a battle with her for 3 years before they arrested her. And they arrested her, put her in prison because she was breaking the law, right? And a lot of people would look at that and be like, well, why can't I collect rainwater, you know? And there's several different reasons for that. Sometimes they try to play it off. Well, if everyone's collecting their own rainwater, then it's not going back into the you know, into the ecosystem and blase blase. But really, if everyone, if 50% of a community start collecting rainwater, then that means that whoever's providing that water, that company who's making millions of dollars with some CEO at the top is no longer making those millions of dollars, you know? And that really is what, you know, that's what some people may say it's about, because you find that same scenario happen with the power companies. When I purchased land, I was like, I'm going to just do solar power. And in my community, because I had turned my my property into a campground, it was like, oh, it's a public ground, you can't do solar. Or if you do solar, your solar has to come to us and we will sell it back to you as a, at a reduced rate. So I was like, wait a minute, that's crazy to me. So you're telling me I can't produce my own power? Oh yeah, you can produce your own power. You just have to sell all of it to us. Or, and then we will sell it back to you at a reduced rate, or you have to give it all to us and we'll sell it back to you at a that was the craziest thing I ever heard. So I pay for the panels. I'm giving you all the energy that the panels are making, and then you're going to sell it to me at a reduced rate. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the law. Who created that law? You know,
the power companies.
Yeah. And so I said, well, I'm going to go to another power company. Well, guess what? There's only one power company in this whole that services this that whole county.
Yeah.
So then I was like, that's crazy, because they have a monopoly. And if I break the rule, maybe I slide by for a little while, but at some point in time, somebody could come around and be like, well, you have solar power and it's not coming to us. So what's up? You know, and then I end up in the situation that that lady was in Florida. That's when you start realizing how this system is connected and how, you know, how integrated it is and how it is designed to keep you in that kind of consumer mentality and that mentality of not really providing for yourself, right? Let's look at it like this. I think that let's talk about this Internet of Things again, and let's say that, you know, how everything is integrated. Let's look at it as a vehicle, right? These corporations are the drivers and owners of these vehicles. We, as in the internet, it are systems that operate within these vehicles. We are the gears. We are the wheels. We are all these different things. How often do you walk out to your car and you necessarily have an emotional connection to those particular things, to the gear inside the gear shaft? Like, you're not caring as much about that emotionally. You only service it because it serves you. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gets you from point A to point B. You want to get into the car, know that it goes and it continues to get you to your destination. So these corporations are the vehicle owners. We are the gears. The internet is are the systems, or these different systems that are in place. They're not, they only care enough to make sure that the system continues to work. You get what I'm saying? That the gear I don't have an emotional connection to the gear, but I definitely need to make sure that the gear continues to work and function as a gear. You get what I'm saying? I don't have an emotional connection to these people. I just need to make sure that they can continue to function as, you know, cogs in the wheel. You get what I'm saying?
To keep
this thing going so that I can keep riding it to the sunset. And that's what we have to recognize is that, hey, I am a cog in this wheel, but I am sentient. I can make a decision on how I want to be a part of that and to some degree. But then again, there is a bolt that keeps the gear or the cog, you know, that gear locked into place. There's a bolt there that I tighten to keep that thing right where it needs to be. And those are, if we want to use it again as an analogy, those are the laws, right? Mm-hmm. So when you try to break free and say, I don't want to be a gear in the matrix anymore, you know, I don't want to be a gear here. You start recognizing that there are all these bolts and things, these nuts and bolts that are meant to keep you in place so that you can keep the system operating so the driver can continue to get where they want to go.
Okay. I think that's a good place to wrap. If we haven't sparked any interest in you to start to prepare or start to investigate, or even just to look around and see some of the things that we observe on a regular basis, I don't know what would. You know, there's plenty, like you said, there's plenty of examples out there to show you that living a one-track system or looking at things from one perspective are destined to put you in a situation where you can find yourself in a situation where you become a victim or you fail. So with that being said, I implore you, as I always do as the OG, invest in yourself and invest in preparing yourself. And I'm speaking from the perspective of an individual who tries to do it each and every day. I learn more each and every day through my relationship with individuals like Hakeem. I go back and listen to our podcast and I learn stuff from the Survive You podcast. And I do my own research based on the conversations that we have here on the podcast. So I encourage you to do the same. I encourage you guys to continue listening to us. And want to let you know that is our episode for the day. We want to thank you for listening and building your education and preparation with us. Please remember that real survival is not about what you can do as an individual, but when you empower those around you.
To do this, we ask that you share our podcast with your friends, and we always appreciate a review. In addition, if you're looking for training in fields related to preparation, you can join one of our courses at surviveuniversity.com. That way you can get ready, be ready, and stay ready.